Just now, the European Union came down on Amazon and Luxembourg for allegedly playing games with taxes. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The EU this morning told the online retailer Amazon to pay Luxembourg nearly $300 million corporate taxes the EU says Amazon should have paid, but that Luxembourg says were never due. BBC technology correspondent Rory Cethlin-Jones is following this from London.
This is one of a series of probes by the EU and a series of actions by the competition chief, Margarete Vestager. They're accused of basically getting a sweetheart deal from Luxembourg. With all these cases, there are two targets, really. There's the tech companies themselves, and there are countries that are trying to attract them with very attractive tax deals. And the EU has decided these deals effectively amount to state aid, and therefore they're punishing both the country and the tech company.
Now, 250 million euros, not quite $300 million. That will be a lot for Rory and for David, but that's less than was expected. This is not a giant bill for a company of that size.
Certainly not in comparison to the $14.5 billion that Apple is up for. So Amazon, you could be said to have got off lightly, but of course it's not seeing it like that. It's saying it's paid its taxes fairly. And one fact that I think will cause a bit of skepticism here, it says it doesn't actually make any profits in Europe.
All right. BBC technology correspondent Rory Cethlin-Jones, thank you.
Thank you.
Checking numbers, the 100 share index in London is down 0.1%. The Dow future is down 5 points. The S&P future is also down by less than 0.1%. White House Chief Economic Advisor Gary Cohn used to be a favorite to take over Janet Yellen's job as Federal Reserve Chair. That was before Cohn fell out with President Trump over Trump's reaction to Charlottesville. Now a new name has emerged, Kevin Warsh, who has been outspoken in his criticism of the Fed's Interest Rate Setting Committee. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more.
The Federal Reserve will likely look a lot different come early next year. President Trump has 4 chairs to fill. He says he admires Yellen, and it would break historical precedent if he didn't reappoint her. But
things are very different in the Trump administration.
Josh Bivens is director of research at the Economic Policy Institute. He says Warsh has aimed his criticism specifically at Yellen because he's thinking,
I want to present myself as the anti-Yellen to make it easy for them, and I feel like that's part of what's going on.
In January, Warsh wrote an op-ed outlining 5 ways he would fix the Fed. He's got a strong resume. He was an economic advisor to President George W. Bush and served as the youngest Fed governor ever. But what about his policy stance? Ken Matheny is with Macroeconomic Advisors.
He has espoused rolling back some regulation, reducing the amount of discretion by regulators and bank supervisors and so forth, sorts of policies that are probably going to be received well in the administration.
Oh, and Warsh's wife is the granddaughter of Estee Lauder. Her father, Ronald Lauder, is a longtime close friend of Trump. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Tomorrow's the deadline for people to temporarily renew their permission to stay in the U.S. under what are called the Dreamer rules. This covers people who came to the U.S. illegally as children. A clock had started ticking a month ago when President Trump said he would let the DACA program expire if Congress doesn't take action by next March. To temporarily renew costs money. From time to time, we check in with MacArthur Genius Grant winner Jose Quinones of Mission Asset Fund in San Francisco. Normally, he helps immigrant families integrate into the U.S. financial system, but he saw this as an emergency, turning to charities and crowdsourcing to help people pay for their 2-year extensions.
There was a certain segment of Dreamers that needed to apply for renewal to renew their DACA status. They only had like a month to actually make that happen. And so we very quickly determined that the best way to actually help them, you know, meet that deadline of renewing before October 5th was actually to give them, you know, straight out full scholarships to make that happen. And we've actually raised almost close to $4 million from philanthropy and individuals throughout the country to actually help pay for their renewal status.
So what's the renewal? It was like almost 500 $495, I think.
Right. It's a very pricey application. It's $495. And after the administration announced that they were going to end DACA on September 5th, they only gave people 1 month to renew. You know, and for a lot of people that, you know, again, they're just working, they're struggling to pay their rent or you know, just to make ends meet, you know, to begin with, you know, to add on top of that a very unexpected cost of $500, you know, just kind of threw a lot of people off.
Who came in needing the money?
We had a family, for example, that had three children, all three DACA recipients. They didn't have the money to pay for $1,500 to renew all three. They only had enough for one. And so they had to determine who of the three was going to get that application. But because of, you know, because of our efforts, they were able to get all three through. I mean, we heard from another student in Minnesota who he was fearful. I mean, to the point that he was sort of like paralyzed by that fear. So for days, he didn't know what he was going to do. He applied, and then he told us that once he received the check in the mail, he basically started to cry. And so he sent us a note, you know, very appreciative of the fact that we were able to help him out. And then, of course, we took all of that to sort of say, like, you know, just we are at least helping them have 2 more years of protective status so that they can continue to dream, they can continue to, you know, to work and really give back to, you know, to the only country that they know of.
Jose Quiñones at Mission Asset Fund in San Francisco, thank you. Social media played a key role in circulating news of those grants, especially, he says, a Facebook page called UndocuMedia. Again, the deadline for people to get the 2-year extension is tomorrow. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.